Just a couple days ago, on Wednesday, July 9th, Jimmy Corsetti and myself had the privilege of being on the Pierce Morgan Uncensored show next to Zahi Hawass. We were actually there to ask him tough questions, which, right off the bat, that's an honor and a privilege, man. I mean, like, the community didn't vote for me, but I got enough subscribers and enough views on those kinds of videos that when Pierce Morgan's people started looking around, they're like, hey, that's the guy to ask. He likes to throw rocks at archaeologists. Go get him. So that's an honor. Thank you for those of you who have helped me get to this point. It's also a privilege because, let's be clear, I know that there's at least 100,000 alternate researchers that would trade all their Pokemon cards, all their Fortnite dance moves, and maybe even some of their kids for the opportunity to ask Zahi Hawass a few tough questions. And me and Jim took this responsibility seriously, and we did get to ask some tough questions. If I may toot my own horn, I think it went really well, especially that Zahi didn't rage quit. We were all able to end it fairly amicably, but we didn't pull any punches. You've probably seen it already. If not, there's a link down below. There were questions I wanted to ask, questions that Jim wanted to ask too that we didn't get to, time constraints and all of that, but I'm going to go ahead and explain to you what those are here. So for those of you who are new here, thank you very much for coming to watch. And for all the rest of you and everyone, hi, my name's Dan, and welcome to Dedunking. Now, I assume you've seen the podcast on Pierce Morgan already. If not, there's a link below. I'm sure a lot of you are here to yell at me for not asking certain questions, and I'm sure a lot of you are here to see whether or not I was going to ask certain questions, so I hope I can satisfy both of you here. The first thing I want to discuss is I wanted to ask Zahi Hawass about the Terns Kings list. That's a papyrus. It's fragmentary. We don't have a lot of it left, but it does go back in time through almost as far as what we know. It goes back into where the gods were said to rule ancient Egypt. It's almost 30,000 years there. And the first god, Ptah, I'm sure I pronounced that correctly, he was like assumed to have been there. And every Egyptologist that I've read anything from says that this probably goes back to that far, that this king's list went from the contemporary kings all the way back to the time of the gods and the very first god in the time of creation. Zahi Hawass, when he was on Joe Rogan, well, that's he didn't seem to know this thing existed.
Have you heard about the, like, you know about the king's list, right? The old king's list that goes back 30,000 whatever years.
Who said that?
You never seen it? It's not in hieroglyphs?
This is not true.
It's not true?
No. No. This is a speculation from people who knows nothing about history. There is nothing king list dated back 30,000 years ago at all.
So why do the people keep saying that?
Because they don't know. It's speculation. Give me one evidence of that. The first king list dated back to Dynasty 5.
That shows that Zahi either didn't know about the Turin King's list, or more likely just doesn't really consider it legitimate for some reason, but it is legitimate. I mean, it's well known to be a real artifact. It may not be accurate. Now, there are discrepancies between it and other king's lists, and that's very common. But it's not the only king's list that has mentions of the followers of Horus and the lesser gods and the greater gods. And so anyway, I wanted to ask Zahi Hawass about that to begin with, because this is the kind of evidence that us alternate researchers, we focus on, right? We look at the things that push the timeline way back. So when he just pretends it doesn't exist at all, I wanted to press him on that a little bit, and I didn't get the opportunity to. The next thing I wanted to ask Dr. Hawass was, why does he reject the carbon dating that's been done on the Giza Plateau in favor of the written records? Many of you have heard me harp about this quite a bit, but the carbon dating that's been done, the C14 that's been done on the Giza Plateau, shows about 150 to 250 years older timeline than what the written record shows. And this is consistent. This is ubiquitous. It's every big-ass building in the 4th Dynasty. When they test the mortar, they pull the pieces of ash out, it's older than it should be. So I wanted to ask Dr. Hawass why they claim the old wood hypothesis, that is, they burned a bunch of older wood and they didn't use contemporary wood to build these things. I wanted to ask him why he props that up so heavily when there's no data for it. Because as a matter of fact, you know, on Joe Rogan he said,
what do you base the dates on? Do you base it on carbon isotopes?
No, we don't. We based dating on the evidence that we discover.
Right, but like some of it is based on carbon, right?
No,
carbon,
I don't believe in carbon date 14 at all.
And this is really weird to me because, like, all right, say we have a written record that says that somebody fired a pea shooter And then they go and they test the pea shooter and the expended round, and they find out that that pea shooter didn't actually get used to fire that round, and this was wrong. The written record would be considered bullshit, clearly, right? The hard data rules the day. So it's very weird to me that they look for an explanation for that. As a matter of fact, it seems very religious-minded. That's the kind of thing you expect from somebody who's trying to support a religious text, right? It's not very scientific. It's certainly not the kind of thing I expect to see from a scientist. So I wanted to understand why it's so important that they keep that record propped up like that. I mean, come on, man. We know that King Tut was erased from their written record. How hard would them would it be for them to erase 150, 250 years, a few rulers, a dynasty maybe? And then the timeline's a little screwed up. This makes more sense to me than them using only old wood. And after asking why data was ignored or explained away, I wanted to follow that up with why is that done with the work of Dr. Robert Schock? He's a geologist who has dated the erosion on the Sphinx enclosure to about 12,000 years ago. Now, this work has been opposed vehemently by Egyptologists who scream up and down that the Sphinx had to have been built during the Fourth Dynasty, but there is no written record that says that for sure. So there's a lot of arguments about this. There's a lot of debate about this. And that's what you would expect in science, right? But they treat Robert Schock's evidence like it's just complete bullshit. And he's a geologist, mind you. And he's a teacher, he's a professor of geology. So you would think that he was given a little bit more, you know, a little bit more clout than this. As a matter of fact, he's been opposed since day one, mostly not by geologists, but every now and again, a geologist comes in there and challenges him. And right now, the guy doing that the most would be Dr. Robert Schnaicher. And, to put it bluntly, Dr. Schnaicher did not get involved in this because he had any concern for the truth. He got involved in this because, I'll let him explain to you why.
What about this specific argument sort of the weathering and the erosion drew you in to speak up and do some research?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm not so sure it was the weathering or the erosion. It was the realization that the archaeologists, the Egyptologists, probably know what they're talking about and that it isn't older. And if you're going to instantly, as Robert Schock has, instantly jumped to saying it was a lost civilization, I sort of felt like I was a doctor coming on an accident scene and I needed to do what I could. So I think that probably more than anything explains why I started looking into it.
So I wanted to ask him, we've got two opposing sides, a very clear debate. Why are you ignoring one side of this scientific debate in favor of the other and just treating it like it's complete bullshit? Instead of looking at the science and waiting for the dust to settle, man. That's how science is generally done, right? It feels very much like the narrative of ancient Egypt is like so set in stone that it must be this way. And it's like, man, that's... Out of all the questions I did not get a chance to ask, this one haunts me the most. Because the Sphinx being so ancient, at least older than the Fourth Dynasty, that to me is almost so obvious that you have to have not done much research or be very biased to have a different opinion on it. The next question I wanted to ask was why Dr. Hawass is so offended by the work of Robert Bavall. For those of you who are unaware, Dr. Hawass got so angry when Graham Hancock mentioned Robert Bavall's name that he said that he ended a debate and said he was going to kick Robert Bavall out of the country or never let him come back.
This man is a thief and a good old document. And I don't want his name to be mentioned.
He's an academic, sir.
He's not academic. He is nothing. This man did bad things. I don't want to leave his name.
This man.
And I am going to call. I want to leave this man document that this country has.
Now, Robert Bavall, for those of you who are unaware, is the archaeoastronomer who came up with the Orion-Giza correlation, which is that the three stars on Orion's belt line up with the three pyramids on the Giza Plateau, and furthermore, that the Milky Way and the Nile River are meant to emulate each other, and that the Sphinx would be staring due east on the spring equinox when the sun rose into the constellation of Leo, which this is the time that is considered the beginning of the age. Even today, the age of Aquarius is going to start at some point and it will be starting during the spring equinox. So this is a very interesting and compelling argument. It actually got me very, it was the hard bit of data that was pointing to that stuff even more, that it was more esoteric and more fun, I guess you could even say, than the geology side of it. But it was a very big thing to me when I read Fingerprints of the Gods, and I've made a video about this, a link below and all that stuff. But I really wanted to know why Zahi Hawass had such a problem. Why is he knee-jerked so hard against this? I mean, there's no reason in my mind to be so angry about it.
Who's Bufal? Bufal is not a scientist.
No, I'm just...
I wanted to ask that question, and before I asked that question, it was imperative in my mind that I'd ask the question about the timeline of the King's List. It was imperative that we had discussed the time of ancient Egypt potentially going back further by their own written records. And the reason was is because the last point that I wanted to bring up, it's directly related to the first point and to the point I just made. Now, the last point that I have, if I just was able to talk to Dr. Zahi Hawass himself and just spend a little time chatting, I think this one might actually land. Here's the thing. There is another archaeoastronomer who is very into the Orion-Giza correlation, Vincenzo Orofino. I'm sure I'm pronouncing his name right. If not, ask Metatron to come and yell at me, and I'll show him a video of me breaking noodles into pieces before I cook them, and it'll be great. Anyway, point that I'm making here is Vincenzo Orofino is an Italian archaeoastronomer, and he's done a lot of work on the Orion-Giza correlation, a lot of work, and published a couple papers, and he has found a fourth dynasty correlation. He doesn't think that the Orion pyramid, the Orion-Giza correlation, was formed 10,000 years ago. He thinks it was formed when Zahi Hawass thinks it should have been formed, the time that Zahi Hawass says the pyramids were built. So this, in my mind, is a very big deal, because Zahi would reject this work out of hand because it's part of the Orion-Giza correlation stuff, but it's not Atlantis hunnery, it's just normal science, okay? As a matter of fact, Orofino, I knew I was going to have trouble with that name. Orofino, one of the things that he did was he found another correlation. There is an inverse correlation between the magnitude of the stars and the size of the pyramid. That is to say, the brighter a star is, the smaller the pyramid that is supposed to correlate with it. Under the three stars in Orion's belt, and those three pyramids, the smallest pyramid, brightest star. Biggest pyramid, dimmest star. And not just randomly, it follows a set little chart thingy right there, see? All right, some science, okay? And I'm not saying Robert Bovall's wrong or that Orofino's wrong. I'm saying that Dr. Zahi Hawass is missing an important scientific debate in his community, and he's missing important data because he is knee-jerking. And that's kind of a big deal. I did talk to him a little bit about that kind of gatekeeping aspect when it comes to discussing how they built the pyramid. As a side note, it seemed very obvious to me that Dr. Hawass he's very offended by the idea of people saying the Egyptians did not build the pyramids. And that was, as a matter of fact, when I was asking the questions, that's where he went, was not how you think it was done, which is where my mind was, how. He's asking, who do you think did it? And I'm like, I don't give a fuck who did it. How? That's what I want to know, is how. So I think that might be a key for us to turn to, like, communicate with him, is if we start just up front saying that we think this was done by Egyptians. For those of us who think that, I'm not asking you to lie to the man, but plenty of us think that it was done by the Egyptians. Tell him that out the gate, and I bet you're going to defuse a whole shitload of baggage that he has in his brain. Now, again, I think the conversation actually went really well. It was kind of crazy how well it went. I was afraid that Zahi was going to get angry at us for asking questions, and he clearly doesn't like to be asked, but I'm sure he knows what Piers Morgan is. So there's one thing that I should say to you before I leave, because this really does make me feel... This is a reality that I think is becoming very lost in the social media era. Guys like Zahi Hawass are, all right, he's like a hated person, like I am to so many, right? We're just an asshole. But, you know, when we started talking to each other and stuff, by the end of it, we all got along well. The same thing happened when Milo and Flint and I and Jim were on Piers Morgan together. Jim, me, and Milo all got along well enough that me and Jim were talking about afterwards, like on the phone, like, how are we going to olive branch this, man? We can roll this into like real fucking alliances here where we're not fighting with each other all the time. But then Flint and Milo went and got all pissed drunk and talked shit about us for like 3 hours, so whatever. But my point here is, when you actually communicate with the person, when you're not looking at their name on a screen in a little picture, but when you're actually like talking to the person face to face, or even through Zoom or Skype or whatever, or I'm giving away my age here, things are a little bit different, man. You tend to not be so angsty. You tend to not be so angry. You tend to see the human and the idea together instead of just the idea that you're like, this thing's fucking gross. When you put some humanity into it, all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay. So anyway, I would advise you to, like, those of you out there that really have a problem with certain types of people, you know, if you maybe talk to one of them. Anyway, I'm not doing politics here. I'm just saying, in general, there's people in the world that you disagree with. Find one of them and talk to them, and I'll bet you it's going to change your attitude on some of this stuff a little bit. I actually am looking forward to talking to Zahi again, and really hope I get the opportunity. Anyway, I want to thank you very much for watching. I hope that I asked some of the appropriate questions, and the questions that I had lined up were satisfactory to some of you. Please yell at me down below and tell me what I should have had on my mind and the first thing I should have asked and how I'm so stupid for not having asked that out the gate. I would really appreciate the constructive criticism combined with some spicy insults. I don't mean spicy bad. Fucking just make them smart, okay? Make them good. If you're going to insult me, man, be creative. All right, thank you very much. I really appreciate everyone again helping support me get this far. And I've got a video coming out in just a few days about the Phoenician King List. So, excuse me, not the Phoenician King List. It's that other one. You know the one I'm talking about. That's a King's List. It's, sometimes I'm a fucking idiot. Anyway, there's a list, and I'm going to be making a video about it. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon.